Chapter 1 "There it is, father," I said to Zokland, the mighty black dragon, as we approached my beloved city. "Hatra, my home."
"By the gods,"
my father trailed off with a surprised gasp.
"This is Hatra? The last time I saw this place, it was a complete ghost town."
"It was a ghost town when I got here," I confirmed.
"Pardon my intrusion, Lord Evan,"
the elder noble of the sword, Redman, asked from his spot behind Zoclan.
"But what does ghost town mean? Is that one of your Earth sayings?"
"It is," I nodded. "It means a town that's pretty much been abandoned and in total disarray."
"Ah,"
the old wizard chuckled.
"I suppose that makes more sense than what I was thinking. I thought you meant to tell us Hatra was filled with the spirits of the deceased."
"It kind of was, though. The spirit of Tristan, my adopted grandfather, still wandered about in the halls of the ancestors below the city. He would show up to me like a freaking force ghost whenever I called upon him, and he always gave me advice on the decisions I was making as a ruler and as an adventurer. However, I didn't want to make things complicated, so I simply shrugged off Redman's comment.
"Lord Evan has brought Hatra back to its former glory," my brother Nike said proudly from his perch atop Callan's back. "His work has been nothing short of extraordinary."
The young noble's black hair billowed in the wind as he rode upon the green dragon and noble of the Sword of Waning known as Callan. Nike had been my most loyal friend since I'd arrived in Rama all that time ago, and he was practically like a brother to me now. He always had my back, and I always had his.
"You can say that again," Zoclan noted. "This is incredible, son. How did you do all of this?"
"With a lot of help," I admitted. "And a whole lot of ingenuity. I'll have one of my subjects take you on a tour once we've landed and everything is settled down."
"I just want to be back home," Amin the Viking noble sighed as he stroked his beard. "Biadma is surely worried about me by now."
"I must get back to my people as well," the bird demi-human Saloan agreed. "It appears the Demon King is growing more powerful by the day, and I do not wish to leave my subjects without a leader for any extended period of time."
"I wouldn't get too comfortable," I reminded them all. "I will need to call upon all of you nobles again when the time finally comes to enter the breach."
"Or if the Demon King is able to break through,"
Nokomis, our lovely snow leopard demi-human, said with a shudder. "Let's hope it doesn't come to that," I said somberly. "If he's able to break through the breach, we're all doomed."
"Which is why you and your dear father here are going to shut it,"
Skye, the blue-skinned half-Nepan woman, declared.
"I have all the faith in the world that you both will rise to the challenge."
"You have more faith than I do, my dear," Zoclan said. "I've been trying to shut the breach for decades to no avail, though it sounds like Evan has a solid plan. At least more solid of a plan than I've ever had."
That part was mostly true. My beautiful wife Aliona had figured out that if I wanted to stand a chance against the Demon King and wish to close the breach for good, I needed to become the most powerful entity in all of Rama. To do that, I needed to bond with the other 11 nobles of the sword, which would give me advanced abilities and the power to match any creature in this world, the Demon King included. I'd already bonded with 10 of the noble swords, and thanks to our most recent mission to find my father, we were now in possession of the 12th and final sword, the Sword of Shadows. However, Zoclan seemed really worried about what would happen once it was reunited with a member of its noble bloodline, considering it had driven all of its previous wielders mad. The spirit of the Sword of Hatra, Mariah, had warned me the spirit that dwelled inside this final sword was not one to be taken lightly. And she was an agent of chaos who had no use nor desire to work with the human she was bonded with, which could be a major problem when it came time to do the Redeemi Vincio ceremony. Not to mention, I didn't want the damn thing to hurt Imarla. Imarla was a beautiful half-mermaid who was a distant relative of the Sword of Shadow's previous owner. And since the Redeemi Vincio ceremony only worked with women, she was our only option. Thankfully, I'd grown fond of the pink-haired bombshell over the last few days, and we'd already consummated our love once and had been on a few adventures together.
Back during our time in Pullis, I'd been told mermaids couldn't physically breed with other races, though in the time since, Imarla had clarified that it was apparently a suggestion instead of a biological rule. The natives of Pullis were not very keen on visitors, so it made sense they'd lie about the breeding habits in order to keep their bloodlines pure. Hell, even the mere existence of Imarla was evidence of that falsehood, considering her father was a dwarf. One thing was for certain, though. If the Sword of Shadows thought it was going to corrupt such an innocent soul like Imarla, there were going to be some big problems ahead for it. A few of the citizens of Hatra waved to us as they saw Callan and I pass over the city gates, and then I led the Green Dragon over to the courtyard of the newly built Lunar Palace. The two of us landed on the sandy ground, and everybody dismounted from our backs before we turned back into our human forms.
"Is this the Lunar Palace?" Zoclan sputtered as he looked up at the grand structure before us. "I thought it was destroyed when the miasma ran through the city."
"We rebuilt it," I explained, as the main doors opened up and beckoned for us to enter. "We had Lady's finest architects help us design it, and the people of Hatra and I did the heavy lifting. It's incredible, isn't it?"
"It is," my father admitted. I'm so proud of you, son. I just wish Sarah, your mother, was around to see the kind of man you've grown into, because I know she'd have been proud of you, too."
A lump rose in my throat, but I didn't get a chance to respond.
"Evan!"
Aliona's happy voice called from across the room. I looked up to see my beautiful wife running toward me at top speed. Her amethyst eyes were practically glowing as she ran, and her long white hair billowed behind her like a vertical cascade. The pale princess was clad in a simple white tunic that did little to cover up her voluptuous body, and her swollen breasts bounced freely and jiggled with each footfall she made. The fabric of her tunic was pressed tightly against her pregnant belly, which was now so large I wondered how much longer it would be before she went into labor. Hopefully not until after we slayed the Demon King and Rama was safe. My adopted parents, Ruslan and Julia, trailed behind Aliona, though they walked at a simple, steady pace. Aunt Emma was right there beside the fox demihuman and his wife, but she was walking with a bit more gusto than the other two. It was all smiles as Aliona skidded to a stop and tossed her arms around my neck. The beautiful princess pressed her lips up against mine, and we kissed intently for a solid minute before she finally pulled away.
"I'm glad to see you too," I said with a smirk.
And then I touched her pregnant belly. "How's Evan Jr.?"
"We're not really going to call him that, are we?"
Aliona giggled. "Of course not," I chuckled. "Unless that's the name you wanted, but I don't think you do."
"I do not."
Aliona shook her head.
"The baby is doing well, and it will certainly be much better now that I know you've returned from your long journey. Did you find the real sword?"
"We did," I confirmed as I pointed to Zoclan. "We also found my father."
"Zoclan."
My wife smiled as she turned to my dad.
"It is such a pleasure to finally meet you."
"You must be Rodion's girl," Zoclan said before he took Aliona's hand and gave it a courtly kiss. "I may have just come into Evan's life, but one thing he's already made crystal clear is how much he's madly in love with you, and that you're his entire world. And is that a grandchild I see on the way?"
"It is."
Aliona nodded and placed a hand on her belly.
"Our lineage will live on long after we are both gone, and the bond of our blood will rule over Rama for the rest of time."
"Wow."
Zoclan chuckled as he ran his hand through his buzzed hairline.
This is quite the honor."
"What do you know about honor?"
Aunt Emma growled as she strode up to the scene.
"I wondered if I'd ever get to see your slimy face again."
"Emma!"
My father gasped as he locked eyes with my aunt.
"I did not expect to see you and Rama, especially since..."
"Especially since you thought you could slip away forever?"
Aunt Emma growled as she put her hands on her hips.
"Just have a bit of fun with my sister and then never be heard from again?"
"That was never my intention," Zoclan argued. "I fully intended to return to Earth the second the breach was closed and Rama was safe."
"Yeah?"
My aunt's eyes filled with tears.
Well, while you were out exploring the universes or whatever, Sarah died, and your son was left an orphan. If I hadn't been around to raise him, well, I don't even want to think about what would have happened to Evan.
Words cannot describe how grateful I am for what you did, Emma. Zoclan sighed.
And words can't describe how much I want to slap you in the face and spout off all sorts of R-rated words right now.
It's all right, Aunt Emma, I promised her as I stepped between the two. He was trying to save the world.
He was trying to save this world,
my aunt scoffed.
All while the world his family lived in fell to pieces.
That's not fair, Emma, Zoclan responded in a somewhat annoyed tone. I have family here, too, you know. I had to think of them as well. And Sarah never told me she was pregnant.
She didn't get a chance to.
Emma frowned.
You were gone before she found out.
I loved your sister, Emma, my father continued as his green eyes grew misty. Please understand that. I never would have left if I thought Rodion's seals would be enough to keep the Demon King at bay. But we all know better than that. It was a matter of life and death, and I thought... Well, I thought there would be plenty of time to live out my life with Sarah after this was done. I never intended to abandon her, and I certainly never intended to abandon my son.
But you did,
Aunt Emma said through her tears of frustration.
Whether or not you meant to, you did. Do you know how difficult it was for me to try and explain to Evan where his father was, especially when I didn't know myself?
I cannot even begin to explain how sorry I am, Emma. Zoclan bowed his head. But I can't change the past. I can only work toward a better future. And I pray that by helping Evan close the breach, I can atone for all the times I wasn't there for him.
Nothing can atone for that lost time,
Emma admitted.
But at least that's a start.
I still have plenty of life ahead of me, Aunt Emma, I said, as I tried to calm her down. Once Rama is safe and the breach is closed, I can have all the time in the world with my father. For now, though, we need to find Amarla and give her the Sword of Shadows, like, soon.
Why the sudden rush, son?
Ruslan asked, and his fox-like ears twitched along with his words.
Amarla is safe here, and it sounds like you found this sword without much trouble.
It's the Demon King, Pops, I sighed. We saw him on the way back. He was still trapped on the other side of the breach, but he's closer than he's ever been before.
Son? Zoclan asked as he looked between Ruslan and I. Pops?
Ruslan and Julia are my adopted parents, I explained to my biological father. They took me under their wings when I arrived in Hatra and didn't have much direction. They've both bonded with me and have taught me wisdom beyond my years.
I'm happy you have found them, then.
My father nodded, and then he turned to Julia and Ruslan.
A pleasure to make your acquaintance.
The pleasure is all ours,
Julia smiled.
I'm so happy Evan was finally able to find his birth father, and I'm even more pleased to know you are willing to help us in our mission.
I will do my best, Zoclan promised. It is the least I can do.
Don't get too caught up in yourself, Dad, I chuckled as I gave Zoclan a small slap on the back. You were already trying to seal the breach before you even knew of my existence, so don't act like this is some grand gesture or anything.
I know, my father chuckled. Though it sounds like you are much closer to victory than I've ever been.
You can give all the credit to my beautiful wife, I said, as I gestured to Aliona. It was her knack for research that helped me find out about the different nobles and the idea of bonding with them to strengthen my own power.
You're too kind, my love,
Aliona giggled.
Princess Aliona, Salone interjected with a raise of his dark hand. I don't wish to interrupt, but... Lord Evan said you would send us home when we return to Hatra. With the Demon King being so close to breaking through, we all feel as though we need to be back home to protect our people.
Then that is where you shall go.
My wife smiled at the nobles.
Allow me to portal you back to where you belong.
Aliona stepped away from the rest of our crew, and then she lowered her head and began to whisper an incantation in a spellcasting language.
As she spoke, the air in front of the woman began to spark and crackle with pure white light, until finally a glowing portal appeared out of thin air. Aliona repeated the incantation three more times to create four portals in total, and then she looked up and admired her work with a satisfied grin.
"Thank you, Princess," Salone said before he looked over his shoulder at me. "And good luck, Lord Evan. No O'Grines will answer your call should you need them to fight for you."
We all bade each other farewell before Redman, Salone, Amin, and Callan all stepped through their respective portals and returned to their homelands.
"Are you three not going home as well?" Zoclan asked Sky, Nokomis, and Nike.
"This is our home,"
Sky explained with a frown.
"We are part of Evan's harem, so we have our own rooms in the castle."
"You're part of the harem too?"
My father tilted his head as he pointed at Nike.
"What?"
The noble gasped as his face turned red, and he began to shake his head furiously.
"No, no, 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 no. I'm simply Lord Evan's brother in arms."
"Don't do Nike dirty like that," I laughed. "He's a total ladies' man for sure. He was even able to tame a gorgeous Tunglian woman."
"A Tunglian woman?" Zoclan whistled.
"Now that is impressive." "It was nothing," Nike chuckled with a nonchalant wave of his hand.
"Nobles don't kiss and tell."
"Evan certainly does," Ruslan said with a smirk. "Or at least all of his lovers do. It seems like I cannot go even a single day without accidentally overhearing something about his nocturnal escapades."
"Don't worry, Pops," I smirked. "I'm sure those escapades are just getting started."
"Should somebody go and get Amala?"
Julia interrupted with a very uncomfortable clearing of her throat.
"The sword belongs to her, does it not?"
"It does,"
Aliona confirmed.
"I believe she's still at the school, training in one of Rebecca or Valera's self-defense classes."
Before anyone could say anything else, I held up my right hand with my palm toward the sky, and I used my messenger ability to summon up a tiny, glowing silver dragon. This little guy was my trusty carrier pigeon, who would deliver whatever message I asked it to deliver to anybody, anywhere. "Tell Amarla to come and meet us in the courtyard of the Lunar Palace," I instructed the dragon. "Tell her we have found the Sword of Shadows and that it is time for it to be reunited with its rightful owner." The little dragon gave me a firm nod before it sprang off my hand, landed on the ground with a comical thud, and then skittered away toward the school. As we watched him run, Zoclan clicked his tongue and whistled.
"That's a neat power, son," Zoclan said. "My predations never seem to be very useful outside of combat."
"It wasn't a predation," Ruslan explained with a proud smile, as he puffed out his chest. "I taught Evan that magical ability, which was one of the very first things he mastered when he got to Hotra."
"Even better, then," my father grinned. "Evan is a master of the magical arts as well. I don't think I could ever be a prouder parent."
Aunt Emma's face twisted into an angry scowl at Zoclan's words. Her arms folded across her chest, and her right foot began to tap impatiently, but she didn't say a word. I could totally tell she wanted to, though, and, knowing Aunt Emma, those words probably wouldn't be too kind.
"Do you think she's ready?"
Aliona asked, and drew me from my thoughts.
"Amarla, that is."
"I don't know," I admitted with a shake of my head. "We don't really have any other choice right now, though. She is the only surviving member of her noble bloodline, and she needs to be reunited with her destiny before I can connect with her."
"Remna will try to corrupt Amarla,"
Mariah warned.
"That much I'm certain of. I only wonder to what extent she will go with her insidious plot."
"Mariah just warned me the sword will try to corrupt Amarla," I repeated. "We have to be prepared for this in whatever way we can."
"Could Aliona do a simple purification spell?" Ruslan suggested.
"Not on a spirit that powerful,"
Aliona sighed.
"At least, no."
"What?" I asked my wife with a raised eyebrow. "What are you thinking, Aliona? Any ideas would be very helpful right about now."
"Well, we could purify Remna within the spiritual sea she resides in,"
she continued.
"Though that would require us to enter another plane of existence and quite literally go into Amarla's head."
"But can you do it?" I pressed further. "Is it possible?"
"Maybe,"
Aliona shrugged.
I've read plenty about this sort of spell in books and scrolls, though I've never once attempted to try it myself.
That's reassuring, Zoclan mumbled under his breath. Mariah, I asked the spirit in my head, do you think such a spell is possible?
Honestly, after the last few years,
Mariah responded,
I'm not sure what is possible or not anymore. I know Remna is quite the trickster, though, and I would proceed with caution in whatever direction you decide to take.
Fuck. It sounded like this was going to be a shot in the dark, no matter what we did. Is there a chance the Sword of Shadows won't corrupt her that badly? I asked anybody who would listen. If Amarla wasn't completely corrupted, you could try a less intrusive spell, couldn't you?
In theory, yes.
Aliona nodded.
Though I'm not sure what that would look like.
It wouldn't work,
Mariah clarified.
Remna is corrupted to the core. Even if you were able to purify Amarla's spiritual sea or lock my sister away in a prison somewhere, she would still figure out a way to make her wielder do her bidding.
So it sounds like there's not much of a choice, I sighed. Mariah just said the only way to truly keep Amarla from becoming corrupted is to purify the spirit within the Sword of Shadows. Then why not just purify the sword itself? Nike questioned, which elicited a snarky snort from my father. You can't purify a noble sword, Zoclan mused. They were created by the gods themselves, so unless you're a god yourself, I don't see you getting very far.
We will have to purify the spirit itself,
Aliona confirmed.
And that has to happen inside Amarla's spiritual sea.
Fuck me, I grumbled. Of course we're going to have to take the path of most resistance.
Is there any other path?
My wife giggled. Not in Rama, apparently.
Evan!
I heard a soft, sing-songy voice call out from behind me.
You've returned!
As I looked back over my shoulder, I saw Amarla running toward me with a giant grin plastered on her face. The woman's neon pink hair hung down over her shoulders and bounced with each step of her gait, while the sun seemed to radiate off her tanned flesh. Amarla was a half-dwarf, so she only stood about 5 feet tall, and that was with the leather sandals covering her feet. The woman's navy blue top wrapped around her chest in a crisscross pattern and then trailed down each arm, and a small skirt-like wrap of the same color sat on her waist. Her silver eyes were wide with excitement as she ran up to us, and then she skidded to a stop and bounced upon the balls of her feet. That's right, I said. I'm back. How are things going with the self-defense classes?
Valera doesn't like me,
the half-mermaid shrugged.
She says I'm too soft, and my arms and legs are weaker than twigs.
She says that sort of stuff to everybody, I reassured the pink-haired woman. I wouldn't take it too personally.
Valera has a hard time playing well with others,
Aliona added.
Unless she's kicking their butts, that is. She seems to really enjoy being around other people when she can beat them up.
Amarla looked like she was going to say something, but then her silver eyes wandered over to the sword on Zoclan's belt. Instantly, the half-mermaid's face fell, and it looked like the color had drained from her cheeks as she stared at the black-hilted sword.
Is that it?
Amarla asked in a somber tone.
The Sword of Shadows.
It is, Zoclan confirmed with a nod. I believe it belongs to you, my friend. Zoclan drew the Sword of Shadows from its scabbard, placed its flat side down in his hand, and then presented it to the woman. Amarla stared at the weapon, though she just stood there and twisted her pink locks nervously. You don't have to take it if you're not ready, I told her. We need to do the ceremony soon, but I don't want to force this on you if you're not prepared.
I'm ready,
Amarla replied firmly.
I'm just trying to prepare myself for what I might find when I pick up the sword. I've heard all the stories, Lord Evan, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little afraid.
Don't be scared, Amarla, I said to the woman as I took her cheek in my hand and caressed it softly. No matter what happens, we'll be right here. I don't let anything bad happen to my friends, remember? Aliona already has a plan, Nike added. We'll all keep you safe. Of course, the noble seemed to intentionally leave out the part about the whole plan being experimental, and the fact that Aliona had never tried this sort of spell before.
Okay.
Imarla said as she took a deep breath.
I'm ready.
My heart thudded like a drum as I took a step back and watched Imarla slowly reach for the sword. Seconds seemed to take ages as I tried to stay calm, until finally we reached the moment of truth. Imarla picked up the Sword of Shadows from Zoklan's hand and looked down at it curiously. We all seemed to hold our breath as the half-mermaid inspected the weapon, flipped it over, and then made a few mock slashes with it. "What's going on?" I asked Mariah. "I thought your sister corrupted anyone who wielded the Sword of Shadows."
"She does,"
Mariah confirmed.
"I don't know why she's waiting this time."
"That's it,"
Imarla chuckled.
"That wasn't bad at..."
Before she could finish her sentence, a massive crack of black lightning erupted from the end of the sword and lit up our surroundings like the 4th of July. One of the bolts struck Imarla square in the chest, and she was knocked back onto her ass before she started to convulse. "Fuck!" I growled as I opened up my mouth and sprayed a rainbow mist of healing magic onto the woman. However, it didn't seem to do any good. Imarla continued to convulse and twitch for a few more seconds before her body went rigid. And then she sat straight up and turned to face me. A twisted smile appeared on her face as her eyes narrowed, and she began to laugh maniacally. Worst of all, I saw her eyes weren't silver anymore. They were red. Imarla had been corrupted.